Check. Good evening. Where is Paul when he writes the letter to the Philippians? In jail. Paul is in jail. And that's important for us to remember because we're going to learn a great deal about Paul and his character as we read and continue to read in the book of Philippians. Because Paul is in jail, yet Paul is talking about rejoicing. And Paul's concern is about the kingdom. It's not about him. It's not about his circumstances. It's not about what's best for him, but it's about the kingdom. And you know, that's easy to preach, but it's hard to live, isn't it? It's easy to say that's what we ought to do, but it's hard when those issues face us. When troubles come to us, it's hard not to feel self-pity. It's hard not to ask why. Why me? And I think Paul will do some of that simply because he desires to be about a greater service. But that's not what God has planned for him, at least at this time. So Paul is in prison, but he's going to talk about the good things that are happening because of his imprisonment. And then Paul is even able to see the good in folks who really mean him harm. People who are spiting him, people who are selfish, and Paul is able to see the good in that. Now you're talking about really difficult. That's really difficult, isn't it? Because what's our reaction? We want to get back at folks. We want to be hurt. We want to be mad. We want to wish them harm. And Paul doesn't do any of those things. So as we read this passage from Philippians 1, keep those things in mind. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What's happened to him? He's been thrown into prison. All right? Now, what does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount that we just talked about? Blessed are you who are persecuted, right? Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Isn't that what Jesus said? Now, we remember studying that, and we remember that, and that all sounds good. But let's think about that for a minute. Is that easy to practice? Blessed are you when you're persecuted and accused falsely. I mean, nobody likes to be accused even justly. But justly, I have to take it, right? If I've messed up and somebody jumps me, I just got to duck my head and take it. But when somebody accuses me falsely, what's the first response and reaction? Back up, bucko, right? All right. But Jesus said, blessed you when you're persecuted, when men revile you, when they say evil things against you for my sake, when you're innocent. Well, Paul, and he's going to talk about that, Paul is innocent, just like Jesus was. Paul, you know, I've not been put in prison for anything I've done wrong. But Paul looks for the good side of it. In the midst of prison, not looking back in hindsight saying that was a good thing. In the midst of it, Paul recognizes that this has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Is it good for me? Not really, but it's been good for the advancement of the gospel. As a result, it has been clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Why is he there? Because of Christ, right? It's obvious to the guards, it's obvious to everybody here why I'm here. Remember, the governor's got to send him. What's the governor's dilemma? Do you remember in Caesarea? What's the governor's dilemma? That's the argument. And so, the charge. I've now got to send him to Caesar because he's appealed to Caesar. But what am I going to charge him with? He's arguing with some folks about a dead man? I mean, it was obvious to them why he's in prison, and now Paul says it's obvious to the folks here why I'm in chains. I'm in chains because of Christ. Paul said, I'm in chains because of my teaching about the resurrection. But because of his faith, that's why Paul's in prison. Not anything else that Paul has done. And the whole palace guard, who are these folks? They're Roman soldiers who are guarding him as a prisoner and who also guard the palace. They are kind of an elite force of individuals who guard at the palace and are guarding Paul. Not sure necessarily why Paul would have that. We believe Paul is under house arrest at this point, so he has a guard with him, maybe multiple, but at least one. And so Paul is able to talk to the guards. And over time, he's talked to a lot of them, and the word is spread. And Paul finds there is some comfort in that, that these individuals have come to know about Christ because they're stuck with me. And they seem to have some interest. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Sometimes when there's persecution, it brings about a greater fear. And that's really the hope of persecution or terror that we deal with in our society, isn't it? That by attacking some, we greatly impact the larger group. Paul's rejoicing that in his imprisonment, instead of others being shy about the gospel, they become emboldened. If Paul can stand it, I can stand it too. If Paul was willing to preach at whatever cost, I'll do the same thing. They are more courageous and fearless because what Paul has been through, and Paul rejoices in that. Now, here comes a problem. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. It's almost embarrassing as a Christian that this passage is here, isn't it? It's not something that you'd want to share. It's kind of those things that the older ladies would have said years ago, and I don't think it's all a bad thing. We don't want to talk about that in polite company. Because what he's saying is that even within the church, there are people who are preaching. And I know we thought everybody that preached had the purest of motives. And hopefully most do, but that's not always true. It's not always true. But some have preached out of envy, out of jealousy. You know, that Paul is gone and so I can find position. I can find position. Maybe some prosperity in that there was a financial benefit to their preaching, that they can find position. Because we know even among sincere Christians, it was easy for them to follow personalities. Remember? It's easy for them to follow Apollos or Paul. And Paul says, hey, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But some folks like the praise. Like the attention. And I think it's something that we have to fight because it actually is one of the temptations that Jesus has to face with Satan, isn't it? Jump off here. Show them who you are. Show them how powerful you are. You won't be famous. You jump off his temple and nothing happens to you, everybody's going to be talking about it. Even the young folks probably know who Evel Knievel is. He was ancient for them, but in my day, Evel Knievel was the guy that jumped the river canyons and all of those things. And so, that fame. And so, we've got folks who are preaching out of selfishness. Some of them, let's just read what they're doing. The latter do so in love, those who are sincere. Because of their love for God, they continue to preach with boldness, knowing that I am put here in the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Now, not only are some of them, I would say, charlatans, some of them are just selfish, but some of them are just plain out to aggravate Paul, out to stir trouble. So what's Paul's response? Because that's what's really important. That's Paul's response. But what does it matter? What difference does it make? What their motives are? Now, Paul's not excusing people for having false motives, but from Paul's point of view, it doesn't matter whether they're sincere or whether they're trying to get at me. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul is going to talk about rejoicing throughout the whole book of Philippians. Here's a man who is in prison, and he's talking about rejoicing. Here's a man who is in prison for doing nothing wrong, and he's rejoicing. We're not talking about a guy that got arrested and found Jesus in prison. I'm not saying that doesn't, you know, who said, I got to serve my time, but my life is different. Here's a man who did nothing wrong. He's in prison and said, I'm going to rejoice. Here's a person who's glad that the gospel's being preached, even though he knows some of the folks doing it aren't the right kind of people. And some of them actually want to stir up trouble for him. They're actually stirring trouble. But Paul says, none of that matters. The important thing is that Christ is preached. And in that I will rejoice. The guard knows. And so people at the palace, he's making a difference in Rome. Some of the faithful are emboldened because Paul is in prison and he is continuing to be faithful. Because people are coming and going. He's sending these letters out. He's able to communicate. And the gospel continues to be preached and Paul will rejoice in that. Because Paul remembers what's important. That the preaching of the gospel, that the spreading of the word is more important than Paul is. So we learn a great deal about who Paul is when we study this. Because what's the Bible really good at? Showing people's flaws, doesn't it? People in the Bible, don't we know their struggles? They're not covered in the Scripture. We know what they are. Even in the New Testament, Peter, whom I can identify with, has some struggles, right? Paul does as well, but Paul is a man of tremendous character. Man who is unselfish and a man who fully has dedicated himself to the gospel and realizes it's not about him, it's about the furtherance of the gospel. I'm not going to be spiteful, I'm not going to be ugly, I'm just glad the gospel is preached and I'm going to rejoice that good things are happening. Things aren't great for me, Paul would say, but the gospel's being preached and in that I will rejoice. And he has an affection for this church, and he's happy with them. Why is Paul able to rejoice in the midst of his circumstances? That's the question I want to leave us with. Why is Paul able to rejoice? Paul is human, hey, and Paul had been ambitious. I mean, Paul had been pretty successful as a young man in the politics of his time, and that didn't happen by accident. He's educated and knew how to play the game. And the reason I say that is, sometimes we sterilize these people a little bit, that they're not like you and me. They don't have the same struggles. What happened? What changed with Paul? One, I think Paul surrenders himself, but the reason that he does that is Paul realizes what lasts and what doesn't, what's important and what isn't. And so Paul is able to look past his circumstances, and we're going to look next week, hopefully, when Paul, to me, has reached the epitome of faith, the pinnacle of faith. And we'll talk about that because he expresses it to the Philippians, because Paul knows what's important and realizes what will last and what won't. He very much, as Jesus would say, realized what the pearl of great price was. And was willing to sacrifice everything for that pearl. Nothing else mattered to him except the gospel, because he realized it's important. So Paul was able to deal with real circumstances that were stressful, that were rough, because he knew what was important. He's a man who had seen Jesus and understood that he had persecuted him, but that Jesus truly was God's Son. And he believed and knew that he was coming back. He was able to know, maybe have seen, what the future held. And he's willing to change his life because of it. The gospel should make a difference in our lives because it should change our whole priority when we know that the most important thing is God and His Son and what He has planned for us, and that our lives here are really short. They're really short. That's really not what's important, but being about the Father's business. If you need to respond this evening, do that while we stand and sing.